train back on track if we can, because we have several subsequent meetings this afternoon. Gentlemen.
Sir, I need you at the table.
Okay, I'll look down. Meeting your hardest in the country.
No, not in this committee.
Chris is the mayor.
I can count, gentlemen.
I know you can. We're counting too. The visible count is not the same.
Okay. Still need five.
Marilyn's here.
Still need five. Well, hopefully everybody will get a chance to review both the agenda and the minutes, and I will entertain motions to move those forward as soon as we get our colleague at the table so that we can dispense with the administrative part of our agenda and get to our action items.
Mr. Zimmerman.
He's here.
He's here.
Yes.
He's got his invisibility cloak on.
Would you like to start?
I think what we will do, we'll make start with the presentations. We can't take any action until the gentleman arrives. And as soon as he arrives, we'll also take the two actions of the agenda and the approval of the minutes. So why don't, Mr. Hughes, why don't you start with the presentation, please?
Thank you very much. I'll talk very slowly. Good morning, everyone. I'm here today to request your approval for our updated Metrorail fleet management plan. This is our either our fourth or our fifth update of this plan. It is a planning document. There is not any formal commitment from the board for any of the projects that are in here, but what we do is we update the plan for all the projects that are going on. The big update for this plan is the extension out to the Dulles area so that we're consistent with all the plans that are out there. It is a 10-year plan, so we project forward in 10 years in terms of starting off with what our rail car requirements going to be. The plan was circulated to you. Obviously, I'm not going to go through it. It's about a 70-page document, but I'd like to highlight the growth in the rail cars and the growth of the support facilities that go along with it that are in the plan. Table in front of you up on the board shows that we currently have 948 cars in our fleet, and we're beginning acceptance of the 184 6,000 series cars. We've accepted over 20 of them as of this last week. But this assumes that before any of them come here. And so we will grow from 948 up to over 1,100 rail cars by 2009. I'm going to go down that column. The understanding from Dulles, all of the EIS, has Dulles being done in two phases. Both phases come with 64 cars. The first phase goes out to Wheelie Avenue. Second phase goes all the way out past Dulles. Both of those projects will come with additional rail cars, 64 each, so a total of 128 rail cars. That would bring our total up to 1,260. And then we're also projecting a growth that we would need for our regular system. This is our average 2-3% ridership growth a year for an additional 130 rail cars somewhere between the time period of 2011 and 2014. Again, none of those are funded, those are projected. That is the same number that we had in the rail fleet plan that was put out 2 years ago. So we're growing a rail fleet from the present size of 1948 in 10 years up to 1390. Also look at how we, where we store them. Do we have enough storage tracks for all those? And I won't go through each of those numbers. Dulles comes with additional storage tracks, additional 226, some in West Falls Church, some out in the yard proposed in out west of Dulles Airport in phase two. So we'll have 1390 cars, we'll have 1542 places to store them. We have more than enough. Some of our yards will be overcrowded, we'll want to stick more, some will have excess capacity, but the numbers are fairly close. Also looked at maintenance bays, and as you remember, under Metro Matters, as we're buying 184 rail cars, we are building maintenance bay improvements at Shady Grove, Greenbelt, and Brentwood, and we had just completed New Carrollton. So we've got growth coming in there. Dulles comes with growth for maintenance bays, both phases, some improvements at West Falls Church, and as I mentioned, a yard out in Dulles. The 130 rail cars, when we buy them, we're going to need more maintenance bays. This plan identifies that we're going to need 18 more. It does not identify where. Again, it doesn't say where. We've identified in the past that we could do some expansion at Alexandria, like 10 of them, half of what we need. But we have, it's an engineering study that's going to happen, got to happen to identify where the rest are. So before we would come forward to the board and say we're ready for the next rail car procurement, you know, how do we find the money, how do we do another Metro Matters, we would identify all the support facilities that need to go with it and where the money comes from. That's probably a few years away. If we need them in 2011, it's probably 2000 and started the engineering for the cars, but the procurement starts would be your action sometime in 2008 or 09. So as you go through the page, the report says that we're growing. We're growing because of an extension, proposed extension, and we're growing because of our ridership. And over the next 10 years, our fleet needs to grow. We circulated it for comments to the JCC and also to the FTA. Received some comments from the JCC, and we've tweaked the report a little bit to take care of some of those comments. We received comments from the FTA, and we've incorporated their comments into the report. So the report in front of you today is slightly different than the one that you saw, but not substantially enough that I need to go through it for you. The FTA has raised one question that we have not put in there yet, and that is, the plan doesn't totally address how we're going to replace the roar cars. The roar cars started running in 76, 35 years from that is 2011. It falls within this time period. And we've got a couple paragraphs in there that's coming, but we ought to conduct and finish our engineering stuff. Is it 2011? Is it 2015? How long? What do we have to do to keep those cars, and what's the real nature of it? So in addition to the cars that are out there, there is the item of replacing the original war cars, approximately 300 cars. And so as we get to them, as we move on probably to the next phase of this this study, we're going to have to address that, and that's going to be a funding need that we've talked about in the past, but it's out on the horizon. So we're going to massage the report a little bit to take care of some of their concerns, but I'm going to try to do it in a way that we don't necessarily have the answer to it yet. That's, I think, the only comment that they've given to us that we're struggling. So with that, what I'm asking for is approval of this updated fleet plan, and highlight at the end, as I did in the beginning, that, again, there's no commitment in here to do any of these projects. It's just something that the board has to approve so that when the next phase of Dulles comes in, they can say, yes, the board has reviewed it, understands everything that's in it, and it is consistent with their long-range plan. So I ask approval of the plan.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. I will ask for us to step back for a minute so that we can go through authenticating our committee now that we have a quorum, and I will entertain a motion for the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Properly moved and second that the agenda be submitted and approved as submitted. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. The agenda is accepted. The approval of the minutes for October the 12th.
So moved.
Second.
Probably move and second that we approve the amendments of October 12th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it, and the agenda is now
The minutes for October 12th now stand as approved. We've heard the gentleman's presentation on the rail fleet management. Questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at page 29. We have talked about the blue line split almost as much as we've talked about the red line turnbacks. Red line turnbacks happen. On the blue line split, on a go-forward basis, some information I certainly find helpful since the most immediate impact of when this is put in place would be on that part of Fairfax County I represent, is in looking at the timing of the additional cars, the arrival, when we know we can do away with the four-car trains in rush hour, and also have be able to pin down the certainty of the timing between red versus blue line trains. If we could have that information, then what I propose doing with colleague support is that once we have all that information is to begin the process of making customers aware of this incipient change and then move ahead with it. But again, before all that happens, I'd sure like to have so we can make it clear to people and to certainly members of this body when we're going to have the cars to make it realistic and what the timing would be between, if I'm standing at a platform, between a yellow line versus a blue line train.
Thank you.
If I can, just a short response. We did go to the board, and you gave us approval as to where to add the first 50. We said we would come back shortly after the first year, and that will be part of that package, specifically the timing of when the four-car trains go away, the blue line, all the other stuff. We'll get it available before then, but shortly after the first year.
Because, Mr. Chairman, I just wouldn't want to do anything there until we knew we'd put that to rest, because otherwise it'd be kind of, you know, adding insult to injury. They have to wait and then have it be a four-car train.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
We'll show it to you.
Mr. Hughes, if I can ask for clarity from what we're attempting to do here, the fleet management plan, as I understand it and understood it from history, does not actuate the actual alignment of cars, purchase of cars, all of that, which I think is of great interest to members of this board, are issues that will come before us again. So we'll have an opportunity to respond, to talk about that, to set those schedules up, to talk about the acquisitions, to talk about the money. I think all of that will come forth later on. That's not what's before us today.
That is correct.
And what we have before us today will not, in fact, affect that. This kind of gives FTA the overall view of how we're going to be proceeding with expanding our fleet to deal with the growth of the system and the expansion of the system. But the actualization of what the gentleman is just referring to, I think, will come to us.
Yes, it will. Every specific
matter.
Action will come to the board. Similarly, in the year 2000, I came to the board and laid out the plan for the need for the additional 180 cars that are now being on deliver. So it's kind of a horizon type of thing. This is what we're going to need. The ridership's going to be here. That's what we're projecting. We're going to need the rail cars. And it sort of starts off that process of where we're going in the future.
Further questions?
Yes. The maintenance bay, when will we get more information about the projected location of the maintenance bay?
It'll come forward at the same time. It's probably a year and a half away. Because we just identified what we need, we're identifying where we would like them. Then comes the engineering study of where can they actually be built within the confines of our existing right-of-way, or do we have to go beyond that?
Those bays that you're projecting, are going to look like the ones we currently have, or are you doing different modifications, larger or smaller?
They'll probably look like the ones that were present, that we constructed at New Carrollton, that we are doing at Greenbelt and Shady Grove. We like to learn from our existing how we do things, and there is some talk about handling the bays for the truck work a little bit differently in future construction and maintenance bays, but that's going on between our operating department and our engineering department.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions?
I did have one more, sorry. One of the things, I don't know whether we have anybody from our legislative liaison office here this morning, but certainly I think Mr. Hughes clearly articulates why we need all these additional cars, but we're also looking at this so-called lame duck session and trying to keep Mr. Davis's legislation alive to try to get us the dollars to make some of this Metro Matters program happen, and just wondering what plans we have to actively try to take advantage of this session to keep that legislation alive. And at some point, whether we can do that today or get back to us individually, I'd sure like to be briefed on that.
And then I sent out a letter, signed a letter yesterday that indicated that this activity, this bill may come up when Congress comes back November 13th, and there's some comments in that letter that speak to the possibility that this will be discussed, and we're hoping for support and action.
Thank you very much. If there are no further questions, this is an action item, and I will entertain a motion. There is a resolution, I believe, that is attached to this.
I move approval.
We have a motion on the floor. Is there
second.
A second? The first and we have probably moved the second that we will move forth the adoption of the resolution as presented in this package. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it, and the resolution passes. Next presenter. Thank you, Mr. Hughes.
Next item on our agenda is an elevator and escalator signage. Last month at the Operations Committee, Dave came forward and talked to you through all of our existing standard procedures, what we do, how we handle signage. We've been requested by Mr. Graham to specifically have a resolution that holds our feet to the fire in terms of getting signage up as quickly as we can. So we have drafted that resolution. It was mailed out to everybody. Mr. Graham looked at it. He actually gave us small word signage that changes is in your resolution in front of you. It's in the last resolve. It adds it's two words to it, so it's in front of you today in terms of what the resolution is. And so we're coming back and asking for a resolution that follows all of our existing procedures and policies and basically holds our feet to the fire so that Dave has to get a signage up within a certain period of time for all of our customers as well as our employees to get the information out. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm asking for you to approve the resolution that's in front of you on signage.
Let me ask a question, if I may.
That's fine.
How does this resolution fit with the strategic plan metrics that we have in terms of performance measures for? Do we have a performance measure that covers response to communication to customers?
Not a specific measure in our metrics that says this signage will be up or that X number it is. What our metrics is based on the performance of his staff and his escalators.
We have no metrics to measure timely information to customers.
No, but we can measure as a result of this resolution that we've met the intent of the resolution of having it up there, but it's not specifically had not been specifically laid out as our annual goal and metrics, but we can add it to it.
That's one of the reasons we're going through a governance process, so we'll get a chance to re-examine some of those strategic plans and the metrics, because if we're going to talk about being customer-focused, obviously we have to have some way of measure whether or not we are getting the information to customers in a timely way. The appropriate way of doing that is to set it out as part of our year-long plan, not to have it included on resolutions that appear from time to time. But this is the resolution that we have before us today. So if there are any further questions?
One question. In the resolution, the second to the last resolve, you have within 24 hours. Is that a practical, measure? I mean, can you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
More details? Yes, we can. We would have fought it if we couldn't, but yes, we can.
Okay.
Okay.
I just don't want you to create a rule for yourself that you can't meet.
I see that.
Okay.
Further questions?
I'm coming in at the last minute on this, but my comment is that it is really long overdue. We owe this to the customers, and I'm glad to hear you reaffirm that this is something that you can do. And believe me, you will hear from our customers if we don't do this. So I think this is a real step forward.
Mrs. Mack, we appreciate the, you know, the board's interest in this and wanting to put this in the form of a resolution, and staff is committed to making this happen. And by adding the resolution, it just gives us that much more impetus to do this.
Well, I do appreciate that. Mr. Graham has often commented on the lack of such timely response on our part, and I'm sure he will be vigilant in making sure that we get this done.
In Mr. Graham's absence, we appreciate what it is.
Actually, he will be here in just a few minutes. So
timely and Graham should never be used in the same.
Okay. Any further questions on the item? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion on the resolution.
So moved.
Second.
It's properly moved and second that the resolution as presented to be approved. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The resolution is approved, and thank you very much. Are there any further questions of the of our witnesses? I started to say victims, but I said witness.
Bring on the next one.
Thank you.
I think we have included in this package the subsequent agenda for subsequent committee meetings. That's included here for your review. If there's any further business in front of the committee, if there is none, this committee is adjourned, and we can go on to the next one if our chair is here.
I hear the vice chair. Thanks.